This week's sermon is titled, What Makes Good Friday So Good? The scripture reading is 1 Corinthians 15, 1-6. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the sermon this week from the Beamsville Church of Christ. Today, I'm recording this on Friday, Good Friday, and some of you will be seeing this on Easter Sunday or whenever you have the opportunity to tune in. I want to talk about Good Friday and the significance of Good Friday. It is on Good Friday that we remember that our sins were forgiven. Now, it's interesting that out of the weekend of Good Friday and Easter, we want to rush to the resurrection. And why not? That's the great victory that Jesus has been raised from the dead. It's really important to notice the significance of Good Friday. So just go with me on this. As much as we love Christmas, and as much as we love talking about and celebrating the birth of Jesus, the birth of Jesus does not forgive us of our sins. And as much as we love Easter, and as much as we love celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, because we know that we will be raised as well, the resurrection of Jesus does not forgive us of our sins. And as much as many dislike Good Friday and often avoid Good Friday, I think there's a reason for that. Many people avoid Good Friday because they don't want a detailed explanation of a crucifixion. That's really not what Good Friday is about. Good Friday is not about how Jesus died, an explanation of a crucifixion, but Good Friday is all about the fact that Jesus died. And because he died and shed his blood for our sins, we can have victory in Christ. So coming together on Good Friday is a day to celebrate our forgiveness of sins and the fact that Jesus gave himself for us. So I want to spend just a little bit of time talking about this. It's so important that we acknowledge all the scriptures that talk about the fact that Jesus died for us. The death of Jesus and our life in Jesus are completely intertwined. And the resurrection of Jesus and our resurrection are completely intertwined. So we'll look first at Good Friday, and then we'll move into the resurrection. Now, in the New Testament, there are so many scriptures that remind us of our sins being forgiven because Jesus gave himself for us. You remember how when Jesus started telling his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and the others, that he was going to be arrested, that he was going to be killed, that he would die, that he would be buried, and that he'd be raised again. And Peter and the other disciples said, absolutely not. There's just no way that could ever happen. And Jesus had to speak directly to Peter to say, if this doesn't happen, none of us will be saved. We'll all be lost in our sins for generations to come. Not exactly in those words, but that's basically what he was saying. Unless I do this, your sins will not be forgiven. And so we have all of these scriptures, and Paul and Peter and John, they all pick up on this, and they talk constantly about our forgiveness of sins because of Good Friday. And I know we want to rush past Good Friday to get to Resurrection Sunday, but it's Good Friday that is the emphasis of most of the New Testament writers. So, for example, here's what Peter says. For you know, it's not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you have been redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to us by our forefathers, but by the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without spot and without blemish. Or in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, which is really an explanation of the entirety of the Gospels. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of this gospel which I preach to you, which you have believed and on which you take your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to these things I preach to you, otherwise you believed in vain. For what I received from the Lord, I passed on to you as first importance, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, appearing to many according to the Scriptures. That's the whole gospel story right there. And Paul is pronouncing the significance of the gospel. His death, yes, and then also his resurrection. But just spending some more time talking about Good Friday and the various times that we can look back and what it really means to us, even going back to when Jesus instituted the Passover, to which becomes our communion time. When Jesus reminds his disciples that the cup that they were taking, he says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." And it's his blood that forgives us our sins. Ephesians 1:7. In Christ, we have redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Or Revelation 1:5, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood. And I know that we want to rush past this. We want to hurry to the celebration of the resurrection. But Jesus doesn't, and the New Testament writers don't. They want to bring it all down to understand the great sacrifice of all. That when on the cross, Jesus dies, he gives up his ghost, he says, "It is finished." I don't think that what he means there is, my life is now gone. And because of this, we have victory in Christ. There's no doubt that he died. I think what he meant when he said, "It is finished," that all of the sins from Adam and Eve, all the way up until this point and forevermore, sins no longer control us. Sins can be forgiven in Christ Jesus. That old way of thinking is gone. That old law is gone. Now in Christ, our sins are forgiven. So other scriptures that talk about this, my favorite is in Revelation chapter 12 in verse 11, where it says, "They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so as even to shrink from death." Or the Hebrew writer says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." And even before Jesus came into the world, before Christmas, when we celebrate his birth, even before that, there was this picture that was given way back in the Old Testament. And it's the story of what's called the scapegoat. Maybe some of you remember this. It can be found in Leviticus chapter 16. And it's the story of what's called the Day of Atonement, when there would be a lamb, a perfect lamb that was sacrificed for all. And yet there was another lamb, a goat, called the scapegoat, where that scapegoat would go off into the countryside. He would carry the sins of the people off into the countryside. And it's this beautiful story of how Jesus is that perfect lamb sacrifice. He didn't escape. He didn't leave. He gave his life for all of us so that we can be free, that our sins can be forgiven. And this is what Good Friday is all about. It's this beautiful, precious gift that is not necessarily a detailed explanation of a crucifixion. It's the fact that he died so that you and I can enjoy the resurrection. In 1 John, he talks about Jesus being light, in that Christ is the light. And because of this light, we can shine brightly. That if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all sin. So Good Friday really is this wonderful story of our sins being forgiven. One of the profound scriptures, I think, on Good Friday is written by the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1. And here's what he says. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And I understand that we want to get past this so that we can get to the resurrection. But we can't rush to the resurrection without understanding that our sins are forgiven by the blood of Christ. So on Good Friday, you don't need to be part of something where we read a detailed explanation of the crucifixion. It's simply the fact that Jesus died so that our sins can be forgiven. And because of that, Easter Sunday becomes profound and it becomes wonderful. So I want to move from this now into our Easter time, our Sunday resurrection time, if you will. And there's some wonderful stories. I was reading the other day a story from the scripture that's probably not very well recorded in the sense of knowing it very well. We know the story of Jesus dying and being buried and being raised again. In fact, maybe we'll look at that first. In Matthew chapter 28, we have this story. And then I'm going to go back and look at another story that I think is really cool. But in Matthew 28, we have this familiar story. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen just as he said. And come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead." And so women hurried away from the tomb, afraid and yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. So there's this great, great, wonderful scene of the resurrection and people being overwhelmed with such great joy because of all of that. But now I want to back up just a little bit. There's something significant dealing with the resurrection that happened even as Jesus was on the cross. And it's found in Matthew chapter 27, and it's a really unique passage of scripture. It says, after Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. So this is Matthew 27 and verse 51. So Jesus has died. And then this, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. And here it comes. And the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of their tomb after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. That's an incredible story, that when Jesus died, there were people who had already died who come out of the tombs. And then when Jesus was raised, not only does Jesus go into Jerusalem and other places, but all these other holy people who had died long ago are now raised. And they go back into the city, they go back into the towns. To me, this is overwhelming. Can you imagine your loved one dying and being buried, and they've been buried there for a good long while, and then all of a sudden, they're raised and they come back into town. And it's this story of that Jesus was raised from the dead, others were raised from the dead, and you and I will also be raised from the dead. This is the marriage, if you will, between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, where there is death, forgiveness of sins, and there's resurrection. And that you and I are as involved with this as they were in the first century. We too will die, but we too will be raised from the dead. And when we remember many of the stories of Jesus, there were many times in the New Testament where Jesus had raised people from the dead, people who'd already died. Probably the most familiar story would be when Jesus raises his good friend Lazarus from the dead. But he also raised the daughter of Jairus. He also raised a widow's child. And then it somewhat culminated after Jesus comes out of the grave and he's with people for a while. Some 500 people see Jesus raised from the dead. He ascends into heaven. And because of all of this, this resurrection is for all of us. And then on Pentecost, when Peter and the others start preaching, their preaching is based on Christ's death, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, resurrection. He says, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which he did among you, as you yourselves know. He was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death. For it was impossible for death to keep its grasp on him. And it's impossible for death to keep its grasp on us who are in Christ Jesus. Over and over and over again in scriptures, we are reminded that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too shall be raised to walk in a newness of life. So if you wouldn't mind, I'm just going to sort of wrap this up by looking at a variety of scriptures in the New Testament talking about our resurrection, our death, burial, and resurrection in our baptism symbolizes Good Friday, symbolizes Resurrection Sunday, but constantly in the New Testament, there is a reminder that yes, Christ died for our sins, but he also raised from the dead for us so that we too can experience the resurrection. So I'll just share with you a variety of these scriptures and then we'll be done. In 1 Peter chapter 1, here's what Peter says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. And then 1 Corinthians 15. For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance. that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And then 1 Corinthians 15:21, for since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. Probably one of the most beautiful stories in John 11:25, where Lazarus has been raised from the dead, and he speaks to a woman and says, Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. And then verse 26, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And that's a good question for all of us. These are not fairy tales. The death of Jesus was real. The resurrection of Jesus is real. It's real that you and I will bodily die one day, but it's just as real that we will be raised because Christ Jesus was raised and Christ lives in us and he promises us the resurrection. And Paul speaks to the church at Thessalonica and he says, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have died in him. That's a powerful scripture. Or in Romans 6, for if we have been united with him in death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. And then there's a story in the book of Acts where Paul is arrested. That's happened many, many times. And he is brought before the leaders of that time. And he stands and he speaks boldly about Christ and about the resurrection. And it says, but God has helped me, Paul says, to this very day. So I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I'm saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles alike. And then in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, and if the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead, is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. May I just say that if you believe in Christ's resurrection, then you believe in your resurrection. Christ came showing us God. Christ came demonstrating how God has always wanted us to live. Christ came forgiving us of our sins on the cross. Christ was raised again, and he does all of this for us. And if you believe in Christ's resurrection, then you believe that you too will be raised. That Christ is the exact image of God. And because of that, you and I are made in the image of God. The experience of Good Friday and Easter Sunday are intermingled. It was at his death that sins were forgiven. When he said, it is finished, he is saying, all those sins that have carried over, they're forgotten, they're forgiven. Because at his death, forgiveness of sins is available. And because of all of that, the resurrection takes place. So if you have loved ones in Christ Jesus, you're going to see them again. We're going to see Christ face to face. And this is a message that we are reminded of on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. I wish you wonderful health, and I wish you a wonderful Good Friday, Easter. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.